Hello,
and welcome back to Globe Talks, a podcast designed to encourage and strengthen our church family one conversation at a time. My name is Anahi, and I'm working as a ministry trainee for the Globe Church this year. Today's episode is slightly different, as rather than having a few guests on to discuss a topic, I'm going to share some teaching that Ryan did for us recently on the topic of friendship. So we recently hosted a Globe Talks Friendship Morning, where Ryan, who is one of our Globe Church members, very helpfully shared with us the pattern of friendship that Jesus models for us in the Gospels. And he also reflects on how this can overflow into our own friendships. We understand that whilst friendships can be a real source of joy, they can also be a struggle. So in this talk, Ryan does a really great job in helping us fix our eyes on Jesus as we work to navigate our friendships in a Christ-shaped pattern. I hope you find this conversation encouraging.
So I'm Ryan. I've been with Globe for about 7 years. I've sort of lost track now. I turned up just after uni, straight from Durham. I've sort of been around for quite a while. I've lived kind of all over in London as well. Kennington, Putney, Kilburn, now Mile End. So, you know, basically anywhere that someone at Globe has lived, I've probably lived nearby. And we're going to spend the morning, just a few moments, thinking about friendship. And I mean, I've thought a lot about it, just my own personal story, because, friendship is something that I have, you know, as a single person, have really valued and needed. And friends are the family that I'm choosing not to have. And so, yeah, as Emma said, we're going to really think about this idea of friendship from what Jesus teaches in John 15. And then we'll sort of think about what that means for us. But I wonder how you would define or summarize Jesus' teaching on friendship. Because I think the one way that you can summarize it is by saying, if you want an easy life, don't have any friends. That's kind of Jesus' summary of friendship. And it doesn't sound that good. She sounds pretty lame. But, you know, that is quite a different vision of culture that says, you know, friendship is about what you want to do. It's kind of have a happy time. It's about your hobbies. It's, you know, it's easy and it's convenient. If it gets hard, you know, you just move on to the next person. And that is a vision of friendship that can't support what it promises. It's doomed to fail. And it's doomed to fail because when things go wrong or you're no longer fun to be around or, you know, you just need help from someone, you start to become what they might view as a burden on them, then what happens to the friendship? And, you know, I read some quite revealing quotes from people, like non-Christian people, when I was like preparing for this. And one of them is from this life coach, and he divides people into what he calls radiators and drains. And basically drains are people who suck the life out of you, according to him, and radiators are people that sort of cheer you up. And, you know, that's where ultimately that vision of friendship leads, which is essentially avoid the drains and stay close to radiators. Avoid people that in any way make demands on you and go towards the people who just give you stuff. And so when you're caught between that vision of friendship, which the world says, actually do what's easy, and then Jesus saying, there is something glorious but hard, how on earth are you going to choose the thing that is glorious and hard? Well, the only way that you're ever going to sort of choose that is if Jesus teaches you and shows you that it is glorious. It's sort of like the thing we've been seeing in 2 Corinthians. It's all this glory and weakness stuff. Nothing is sort of simple. It's not just sort of the simple, neat lines that we like. And so what we're going to do, we're just going to look at a pattern that we're not going to look at lots of this in detail, but we're going to look at a pattern that Jesus uses in John 15 that I think will really change how we think about friendship. And if you look in verse 9 in John 15, I'll read the whole passage in a minute, but just look at verse 9 for now. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And so what he's saying is, the love that the Father and I have shared for all the times has overflowed, and that's how I've loved you. I've loved you like that. And so there is a gospel pattern that overflows from Jesus to us and it changes us. And then we are transformed. And as those who are transformed by being loved in that way, we are then free to go and love and lay down our lives the way that Jesus did. And so we're going to sort of take that pattern and think about two or three aspects of friendship that Jesus teaches and refers to. And then you know, we'll ask, how have we experienced that in our friendship with Jesus in the gospel? And then how do we then live it? So what have we experienced? And then how do we live? And I mean, Emma's already touched on some of the, you know, wide range of things that we, you know, could talk about. And so we're not going to, I'm not going to try and touch on any of those. These are just sort of principles and wisdom for you to take and pray and think about in your own friendships. So I'll just read that passage in John. So verses 9 to 17, and I'll just pray for us quickly and then we'll dive in. So if you've got a phone or a Bible, just get John 15 and starting at verse 9. Just give you a moment to find it. So Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Let's just pray briefly and we'll dive in. Father, thank you for that vision of friendship that Jesus gives. And thank you that friendship is the gospel. Thank you that we were enemies and have now been made your friends. And Lord, we want to see that more. We pray that we would see and understand and know the gospel more, that we'd be transformed and that you would send us into this city to be your people. Amen. So we're going to see three things. The first thing that you need to know, according to Jesus, that friendship is about, is it's about sacrifice. You've probably heard it in verse 13. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And, you know, that is something that Jesus spent his entire ministry doing. He spent his entire ministry laying down his life. I mean, just if you read through any of the Gospels, you'll see this. You know, the fact that he actually came in itself is him laying down his life. He came in humility and weakness when he could have marched into the heart of the Roman Empire and overthrown it. And yet he didn't. He came and he laid aside his privilege. You know, he spent his time going to outcasts and people who despised him and rejected him, who didn't worship him as he should. So he laid aside the honor and the glory that he deserved. And you see that, you know, most clearly when he was obedient to death, you know, Paul writes, even death on a cross. And so that was him literally laying down his life. And I guess as you sort of think about that, you just need to remember plainly, and it's probably something, I mean, I'm tempted to sort of move on from this, but Jesus did die for you, and he didn't only die for you, and the gospel is bigger than the fact that he died for you, but he did die for you. And, you know, and it's important not to move on from that when we think about friendship, because knowing that you're died for does two things. It humbles you because you realize, oh, I needed someone to die for me. And it encourages you and exalts you because someone was willing to die for you. And so, you know, listen, so Tim Keller, sort of writing about the gospel and what the cross teaches you, puts it this way, and I think it's an excellent summary. You may have heard it before. I think it comes from the meaning of marriage. And he says, we're more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. More sinful than you dared believe, and at the same time, more accepted than you dared hope. That's the basis of your friendship with Jesus. And, you know, experiencing that kind of has to change you, but that's quite a big idea. Most of us are not literally, hopefully, going to lay down our lives for our friends. So how on earth how do we obey this command to lay down our lives, to love as Jesus has loved us? But I think our natural reaction probably is to just try harder, to do more, to, you know, make our life, just go out and try and make our lives harder. But then I'm laying down my life. But actually, I think it probably starts a few steps back when you need to see people the way that Jesus saw them. So see them as people who are precious, who you want to lay down your life for. And C.S. Lewis wrote in The Weight of Glory about the kind of value that we should place on people. And he said, next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. You know, in other words, people are precious. So the people who are sat around you, who you see on a Sunday, are precious. And so the first challenge is, do you view them that way? Do you view people as precious, as the holiest object presented to your senses? Because we're called to sacrifice for our friends, brothers and sisters. And this means laying aside something that we value for something we value more. And that's them, that's the people, that's our friends. And I guess the challenge then is, are there things that we value more highly than other people that we're not willing to lay aside? And we will all be challenged in different ways. I think for me at the moment, it's probably time. Work is busy. I don't really have a place to live. I'm looking for somewhere. There's lots of things going on. And I think I have noticed that I want to keep control of my time. I don't want it interrupted. And there's no margin left for anyone. And yet actually all the way through the Bible, God says, no, leave a margin. Don't reap to the edges. So that's what I'm called to do, not reap to the edges. And so first thing, what is that thing? What might that thing be for you that you're not willing to let go of, or that you're not willing to lay down for the sake of that brother or sister and that friend? And then second thing, so moving on. So if Jesus has loved us with this extraordinary and serious love, and we're commanded to love like that, but that's not all the way there. So the second thing is that friendships are marked by an openness. There is an openness to friendship that Jesus mentions in these verses. And before we even get to that, there's kind of a logic to it. There's just a general like wisdom that says, your friends are people you tell stuff to. You sort of don't really have friends that you don't ever share anything with. That doesn't mean you share the same level of intimacy with everyone, but you know, your friends are people you share stuff with. And so, you know, looking at verse 14 and 15 in that passage, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And so what Jesus is saying is there's an extraordinary transformation that's taken place. This extraordinary transformation that says, you know, you were this and are now this. You were a servant and now you're a friend. And just thinking about that image of a servant for a second, a servant is someone who you tell to do stuff. They're kept at a distance. They don't really know you. But a friend is someone quite the opposite, who's kind of been brought near, who does know you. There is a relationship there. And so it's already an extraordinary, extraordinary image. And to help you sort of feel that, I don't know if you've watched Downton Abbey, one of my favourite shows. This might work or it might not. But one of the main storylines in that show is that the chauffeur, a servant, marries the daughter of this rich aristocrat, and everyone is scandalised. Someone from upstairs marries someone from downstairs. They shouldn't mix, basically, in that world. And yet, being married, the marriage then means that he's now a brother and a friend and a son, and that's not how he started. That's the kind of transformation that we've had. But it's even sort of deeper than that, because all the way throughout the Bible up to this point, very, very few people had ever been called friends of God. And the people who were kind of Moses and Abraham, so the real like giants and heroes of the faith. One example of that is in Exodus 33, when Moses goes into the tent of meeting, and you read in Exodus 33, verse 11, that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. And so what Jesus is doing is he's taking this image of a friend and someone who's a friend of God and saying, that used to be for this sort of special category of people who God had chosen. And he's now saying, it's for all who would come to me, because this group of people who he's speaking to, they're fishermen, they're tax collectors, they fail, they've denied him. And he's saying, I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything that a father, everything I learned from my father. So whoever you are, if you know Jesus and you've received what he's done, then he would call you friend. And this is, you know, this is so, so important, because thinking about sacrifice will tell you what you're saved from. But thinking about this openness that Jesus talks about tells you what you're saved for. And I think both are, you know, both are important. And if we only focus on one, we miss something of that gospel. And, you know, right from the early pages in Matthew, we're told Jesus' name, and we're told why he's got the name. So yeah, we are told, call him, give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that's a wonderful and true thing. And then we read this and we're thinking, oh yeah, I'm saved from that for this relationship. So we're saved for a relationship with Jesus, but also for the deep relationships with one another. And so we have to then ask the question, well, what does that mean, that principle mean for our friendships now, for our, how the way that we do church? Well, a couple things. One, I think it means that we're supposed to pursue, yes, we want a personal faith, but we're not supposed to have an individual one. And I think that's quite a different thing. And so we need to remember that we're saved from sin, but for other people, to be a part of his people. And I actually think that's kind of why when you go through church membership, it does say that I kind of need these people and they need me. That's what it's doing. And then, you know, to be very practical, this means that you cannot go through life and you can't, you know, you're not intended to go through life with sort of surface level friendships. Now, it's hard to build those friendships, but that is our ambition. And so you need places and people to talk to about the things that encourage you, the things that you're enjoying, the things that are hard, all of that. And, you know, I said at the beginning, that's when I have especially needed friendships, because I find following Jesus hard. I mean, it is hard. And so I felt, you know, shaken at points, wobbly, like it's been a bit too much. And, you know, God has been kind and he has taught me a lot. He's shown me, you know, something joyful about obeying him, but that doesn't mean it's easy. And, you know, that has come, and the ways that he's sustained me have come through, yes, I've prayed and I've read the Bible and sometimes with tears running down my face, but also he's done that through the friends. Mm-hmm. And I was going through probably one of the worst times, and it's a very simple thing and it's not that impressive really, but, you know, I was having a pretty bad time and a friend of mine, they just framed this verse and they just turned up to church on Sunday and just gave it to me, and it sat on my desk for the last 5 years. And if you can't read it, no one can read that from there. But it's Philippians 1:21. So for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I was like, I would never have thought to pray that for myself in that moment. But a friend spoke it to me and it's become a rallying cry. And so you need deep friendships. And then finally, kind of coming on to what is all of this for? Because so far we've sort of, you know, thought about Jesus has transformed us with this incredible sacrifice. There is a new openness and we're saved from sin for these deep relationships. But so far that's quite us focused. It's quite, you know, us having a happy time and, you know, us coming together on a Sunday and gathering. But, you know, we've just been going through Isaiah. We've just finished going through Isaiah. And the vision in Isaiah is actually the gospel is that one day people from all nations are going to stream to this exalted temple to worship. And that, you know, and for that vision to come about, God's people need to be his people. And so for the third thing that we're going to see then is that, you know, friendship is about something bigger. It's about a bigger purpose. And if you flick over to John 20, you'll see that. In John 20, verse 21, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so what you see here is, you know, Jesus saying, there is a mission the Father has given him, and we are now caught up in that. As those who are transformed, we are caught up in Jesus' mission. And so we are saved for relationship, but we're saved for relationships where we don't just have fun, but where we work for God's vision to come to pass, where we sort of partner with other people and with God to see his name made known. And yeah, like I said, our friendships are meant to be about more than just the friendships themselves. And that is hard. And then we have to think, what does that actually look like on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning? And, you know, I think the one place it starts is by praying that you have that vision of the gospel. Do you have a vision of the gospel that says it is bigger than me? It's bigger than us doing Globe on a Sunday. It's actually about people coming in, more people coming into that relationship. And, you know, one way that you can practically do that, I think, read that passage in Isaiah 2, go to Revelation, read the passages about what that future will be like. You just sort of read it and think how many people that there are going to be, that there are going to be. There's quite a lot. There's quite a lot of people, and they're from all over. And so just reading that can do something to your heart. It can get you excited. And yeah, I guess that is the last thing, you know, ask God to get you excited about that vision, and then ask him to show you what small part you can play. And so just to kind of wrap it up, Jesus has poured himself out in this extraordinary sacrifice, and it has saved you, and it's made you new, and you have, it's for a relationship with him. And you now have the privilege of that purpose. And it doesn't mean it's easy, but you have the privilege of that greater purpose. And there is this pattern that you, what you experience in the gospel then becomes the way that you live. And so, you know, there is an encouragement to receive, you know, receive that encouragement. Jesus died for you. He wants to know you. He wants a relationship with you, and he wants to give you this purpose. But also hear the challenge that you might need as well. So think about, what is one small step you could take to lay down your life? What is one way that you could create a little bit of margin in your day? What is one step you could take to pursue a deeper relationship with friends and people in church? You know, for example, is there something that you've been holding back that you're thinking, I'm willing to be quite an open book and tell people a lot of things, but not that? That doesn't mean you tell this, you confess everything to everyone. That wouldn't be wise. But, you know, is there that one thing that you could not hold back from a couple of trusted friends? And then thirdly, you know, what step could you take to pursue God's vision in your friendship? You know, how can you, you know, that might be inviting a friend to a carol service, or, you know, when you go into work on Monday, how do you talk about your weekend? You know, oh yeah, I went to church. Great. Or could you say, you actually just use the name of Jesus and say, I went to church and I learned this about Jesus, or I went to church and we learned this about friendship, or something, you know, some way of just a little step. Because you don't, we're not going to go from 0 to 100, but it's what's the one small step that you can take to just sort of start to refocus your friendships around that vision. But yeah, I'll leave you a moment to think, and then I'll pray to finish. Yeah, Father, thank you so much for the gospel. Thank you that we are those who are more sinful than we ever dared believe, and yet more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope. And Lord, I pray that we would know that we would drink deeply of that, that you would, and as we do, that you would give us confidence to pursue deep, deep friendships, that you would give us confidence that as we do that, we can partner with one another to make you known in the city. And Lord, we pray that this would help us to do friendship differently, that the way that we do friendship would make a difference in London, that people would look at us, and that we'd be a church of where we're known for people laying down their lives in friendships. Amen.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Catch you next time.